Okay, we're back on.
We're back on. Okay, we are going to wrap up a couple items. Let's do county general fire for two purchases.
Those will be short.
And then we'll go back to the Siskiyou Land Trust. Short time.
Good morning. Darrell Laws, County Fire Warden. So both both items on there for the General County Fire are donations. They're through the Siskiyou County Fire Chiefs Association. One is a dump trailer, and the other one is a pickup. I think it's a ton and a half pickup to tow that dump trailer. And then also be used as a tow vehicle for our air trailers, our multi-casualty trailer that we pull out if we need. If we have some kind of an incident on I-5, Highway 97, something like that, tour bus, kind of a deal. And then our hazmat trailers. discussed it in length with Ms. Davis, and believe that anyone that operates from the other departments, this will benefit those departments, fire departments, so they have a vehicle to tow those entities. So I'm just asking for permission and accept those donations.
Item C, anyone? Any discussion? Move to approve.
Second.
And that was just for C, correct?
Yeah, we're going to do them separately.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Bounsworth?
Yes, item D.
Move to.
Go ahead.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstev?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate your time and support here.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have a special meeting just for you before the end of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. On the 30th. thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go back to public requests. Siskiyou Land Trust.
Good morning. Thank you so much, and sincere apologies for not being here right away. That was a huge gift to have us first on the agenda. And
I use a lot of political capital.
I know, right? We have a site visit occurring this morning, and was a little delayed thinking I'd have plenty of time, so appreciate
it. Okay.
We need your name for the record as well.
Kathleen Hitt, Executive Director of Siskiyou Land Trust.
Thank you.
I'm here this morning. Go ahead and thanks. To just give an update about, to share with you all what the Land Trust is up to and offer an opportunity to for the board to ask questions. Move the slide forward. This year, we're celebrating our 30th year in existence. This is our board and staff. 30 years in Siskiyou Land Trust as a local land trust. 10 years of that was all volunteer. And now we have a growing staff and board. 8 board members and 8 staff members. And so this morning, as we celebrate 30 years, I'm going to be giving an overview a bit of geographically how we've expanded in scope over primarily the last 15 years, and to share a bit about the scope of our work, including our conservation for land acquisitions, easements, as well as stewardship and education outreach. And most of our work has focused for our land scale conservation in Scott Valley. And this is a picture of that. We'll be sharing a bit of recent work over there. So this is Siskiyou County. This is the area where the Siskiyou Land Trust works. About, as most of you well know, half of the landscape of almost around 4 million acres is federally managed, about half is private land. So Siskiyou Land Trust primarily is working with private land owners, and the stars on this show our work over the decades. The first decade, 1993 to 2003, the stars are kind of overlapping. That was, we have a couple of projects, small projects in Mount Shasta, where we own an area in town for public access of a meadow. And then that little star down in Trinity County, because we our charter does allow us to work there, is a donated easement of 70 acres. That was one of our first projects, 2004 to 2013, really saw a shift in the land trust strategic planning and our focus to work with willing landowners on working lands, meaning Siskiyou Land Trust, you know, as of 2004, really started partnering with ranch landowners, and then later on in the decades it's expanded to forest landowners. But you can see in 2004 to 2013 that the orange stars are clustered in Scott Valley, and we also have an orange star down in Mount Shasta because right by the little meadow we have in town, we also had a community campaign to acquire the land across from Sisson School, which serves as a garden education spot as well as some local trails, so folks from residential areas can walk safely into town and to school. From 2014 to 2023, we really opened up working with forest landowners. We didn't really anticipate that as a small local land trust. That was a big undertaking. Forest conservation is far more technical than the other work we had been doing, and so we started that partnership with EFM, who many of you know came to acquire about 40,000 acres when there was a divestment in the Scott River headwaters from a TIMO. And so this landowner came to Siskiyou Land Trust wanting to partner for conservation easements where they have property up against the three wilderness areas. And so the land trust took a big leap in working with them and helped leverage our capacity by working with consultants that were familiar with our area and also forest conservation. And so over the last decade, the land trust went from conserving about 7,000 acres to conserving 38,000 acres of primarily working forest and ag lands. I'd say our forest land conservation is the bulk of it, around 30,000 acres conserved to date. Go ahead and move that slide for me. And so wanted to share too, we expanded our partnerships to work with partners in the Wairika area during COVID, when the city of Wairika stepped out of a relationship to conserve the Wairika flocks. There was a bit of change in management, change in capacity perhaps. And so the land trust was asked to step in, and we did. And so partnering with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and a couple of willing landowners, we acquired 675 acres. 11 of those acres are in the city of Wairika on what's known as China Hill, adjacent to where the city of Wairika has for many years partnered to conserve land for the purpose of protecting this plant that is on the endangered species list. And the goal is to actually delist this plant. In this project, we bumped that the conservation of this land up with just that acreage from 30% of the habitat conserved to 70%. And a lot of folks in the city of Wairika, I think for a good 30 years, have worked on protecting this plant that is endemic just to the area of Wairika. And so that partnership, as we stepped in, really put, it was our first acquisition of land conserved in the city of Wairika in this area. And the our neighbors, the city, had actually partnered with agency folks to put a management plan together. And so the land trust essentially adopted that management plan as part of our plan. So whatever the city had proposed for managing this property, which will include, I think, trails in the future for public access that make sure they protect where the plant's located, the land trust agreed to essentially step into that partnership and try to leverage the resources that have already been put forward in that way. Go ahead and follow. And recently, another two projects closed in the Scott Valley, two ranches that make up about 800 acres of land connecting a corridor between two ranches that were already conserved. And I'd say for our working landscapes, really the intention is to work with ranch land owners who are committed to conservation and who want to keep their ranches intact forever. And so they're still operating the way they've operated and essentially agreed to limit future development by identifying development envelopes and keeping that the whole of the ranch intact. And so that's a really great input for us in terms of contributing to local economy. Conservation easements are real estate interests, and so the land trust works with funding partners to acquire that real estate interest from ranch land owners, and then it gets recorded. And I think helpful to understand that every conservation easement is its own easement. It's negotiated with landowners, and when it comes to the land trust role, we're still really wanting to facilitate what's best for landowners. So we're not imposing our vision of what is a restriction, but we're working to pair up what's on the landscape, what's in the funding world, what these landowners are looking for, to make sure that whatever type of conservation easement that the land trust is acquiring really fits with Siskiyou County, with the landowners. And in the case of our ag lands, we're generally partnering with the California Department of Conservation and NRCS, which are really those easement terms are put forth, minimum details, by those agencies, available actually for public review if anybody's interested. The minimum deed terms for NRCS ag land easements as well as Department of Conservation are on the websites. Go ahead. When I spoke about working with EcoTrust Forest Management, EFM, the large forest landowner, we're partnering with them for the final conservation easement over their ownership in the Scott River headwaters, and that is called the Shackelford Tract. They actually have federal funding for this through Forest Legacy Program, which means the land trust will not actually hold this third and final easement, but we're helping to coordinate the transaction itself, and we will assist with monitoring that easement. So once an easement is in place, it's up to the land trust to work with landowners once a year to go make sure that what we all promise is still intact. And so generally that entails a landowner meeting, checking to see are there any leases or new landowners, anything changed with construction, and we go and take photos to document the landscape and that yes, indeed, it is a working forest and there isn't, you know, a golf course, but there is a working forest. Okay, go ahead and move on. Just showing this map to give you a sense of, instead of stars on the map, what does this look like? This is a snapshot of primarily the Scott Valley area where we work. The green surrounding the blue and purple yellow is federal land. The light green is wilderness areas to give you a sense of, you know, why would the land trust want to keep some of these landscapes intact for watershed function, economy of working landscapes and habitat. You get to really see what that impact looks like. So on the light blue on the left-hand side of the map that skirts the Forest Service area is primarily the EcoTrust Forest Management forest easements that I refer to. The purple on the far right is actually an 17,000-acre easement that was donated to the state many years ago before the land trust ever held conservation easements, and so that's held by California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And the yellow color in the middle are our agricultural conservation easements. And we only work with willing landowners, and so honestly, Siskiyou Land Trust, as we work out there on the landscape, we're not knocking on doors. It's generally one neighbor sharing what's happened, or we've held a series of agricultural conservation easement workshops or forest easement workshops with some of our conservation peers that do the same work. So landowners have a long time to both negotiate or navigate, rather, what does a conservation easement mean? What we provide really, we're facilitators, you know, trying to provide opportunities for both conservation, economic inputs to our region, and keeping the character, the rural character of where we live. After deciding to open ourselves up to work in the world of forest conservation easement, like I said, which are far more technical and more considerable resources needed, we were approached by FWS that manages for some large timberland owners in Siskiyou County. I think FWS manages over 200,000 acres of forest land for landowners here. And they asked if we would partner with them on a forest conservation easement in the Upper Bear Creek, which is the blue dot. And if you're looking at that map, I know it's crazy to try to visualize where I'm at without the zoomed out version of Siskiyou County, so I'll try to describe the road that is the red line going through there is Highway 89, and it's really just in the south, we're looking at the southeastern corner of Siskiyou County where that blue tract of forest is, and it's just over the hill from the McLeod drainage. So we're working in the Upper Bear Creek Forest on a forest conservation easement there. The green just below it is actually a forest conservation easement held by Pacific Forest Trust, as well as the pink to the left of that area. So I-5 is the road segment that comes from the top left, you know, down to the bottom left of the map. And I think something significant here is that we entered the realm of working with more industrial forest landowners, and that's a place we thought would probably be primarily set for Pacific Forest Trust. But there is an interest in keeping the conversations local and also the presence local. So there are other entities out in the world that work in Siskiyou County on conservation that are more regional, that includes Pacific Forest Trust, the Nature Conservancy, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and now the American Farmland Trust. The Rangeland Trust does not have projects up here, but they could. And we're finding that there is an interest to really keep the dollars local in terms of the workforce here is local. It, you know, brings to our economy, as well as the stewardship fund. And so as we have a forever responsibility for every year working with these landowners, we're finding that even the larger industrial forest landowners would like to have a local voice, someone who's familiar with the property, who is accessible and available to talk to. And so just this is an example of something new that came our way. We had a donated riparian conservation easement in wetland this year. These are trickier to move through, not because of the concept, but just because of the cost that it takes. Conservation easements take about 2 to 3 years from start to finish. And so sometimes it's an economy of scale as we work, and other times the land trust finds support from our local donor base to help us give the our allocation of time to work on this smaller project. So this is one of those where we have about 20 acres conserved in the headwaters of the Shasta, which is kind of in the Hammond Ranch area above Dwinnell Dam, an area that is pretty heavily subdivided, but we're finding folks are wanting to make sure it doesn't really get further subdivided in the places where you've got the river moving through. Lots of flooding issues that aren't really great for a place to develop, but developable just above it. So that's come our way recently. I think something to share with you all is that the land trust this past 2 years has started acquiring land at a scale that we haven't really in the past, and it's a question mark for our board. We didn't really plan on acquiring large landscapes, but a few have come our way from willing landowners who want to leave legacies. And so right now, Siskiyou Land Trust holds approximately close to 2,000 acres of land. For the most part, these places are conserved for their working forest meadow function, and then in the case of flocks, to protect the flowers. And so we're trying to figure out how to manage these in a way that can offer education, not just to kids, but you know, for resource management. In terms of forests, we're trying to work towards a demonstration forest. For this meadow headwaters, looking at meadow restoration and figuring out how to integrate both management and education. And in the case of this particular place that's on the screen, which is straddles the upper Sacramento and Shasta Rivers, it comes with an old lodge, which has a heck of a lot of work to be done to it, but we're also trying to figure out how to help the housing situation, because housing is really affecting our capacity to hire. And so we're wondering if we can leverage some of the infrastructure we have to provide seasonal mobile housing. And then just sharing that we are, as we grow in capacity at the Land Trust, we do now have some capacity to work in places like Shasta Valley, which had traditionally been just the focus of some of the larger organizations out there in the world. And we went from a staff of 2 to 3 to 8 in the last 3 years. So there is quite a bit of support out there for what we're doing. And it's meant that we can now serve folks who have been knocking on our door for some time, but we haven't had the capacity until now. Go ahead. And in terms of not just land acquisition, we've really expanded into stewardship. Oftentimes we would just say, hey, there's RCDs and there's watershed councils. We found that the Land Trust has had some unique opportunities to leverage dollars for places that have funding opportunities because they have conservation easements. And so the example that's up on the screen, we were able to work with the Spencer family to get some agricultural efficiencies in place, including this system and a different kind of pump so they could be more efficient. And this was critical for when curtailments came, because while everyone was scrambling, they were actually okay because this had been put in just in time. And this funding came through the Department of Conservation, and again, because they had a conservation easement. So while we don't want to step over anyone or on anyone's toes for the stewardship piece, and we really just want to be complimentary to what's out there, and we're finding that there's a big need for it. And I think of all the aspects of what's challenging, I think this is where the Land Trust would like to leverage some of our stewardship in the ag community, is to see where can we leverage dollars where we have conservation easement partners already completed easements or in the works to ease some of that intense burden that's going on right now in relation to curtailments and the water board. We don't require any of our easements to put water in stream unless that's something that a landowner approaches us specifically for. But a landowner did approach us to study what are the possibilities for stream flow enhancement, for putting water in stream so long as there was plenty of water for the on-farm work. And so there's a partnership right now with Siskiyou Land Trust and the Water Trust, one of our ranch land partners, to do stream flow studies. It's also in partnership with a Karuk tribe who's looking at habitat throughout a specific reach of the Scott River where this ranch is located. And really, we're just exploring what are some opportunities where there might be improvements on the land that have significant benefits. I'm sure you've all heard different studies that are happening out there. One of those questions, there are a couple question marks that are outside the scope of what this project is, but we are asking questions like, what does happen if there's flows, you know, irrigation put on, that's for the summer, put on in the wintertime through a certain permit to recharge the watershed? What about beaver dam analogs? What does this ranch really need? And so that's a really involved project that includes engineers and hydrologists. And again, it's kind of outside the scope of our expertise, and so we're leveraging partnerships for what people are asking us to do. And part of the reason the Land Trust is facilitating this project is because we have a relationship with the funder for other kinds of land conservation. And so that relationship through the Land Trust is really just leveraging what some other entities wanted to explore. Forest stewardship is a big part of where we own property, and so trying to walk the walk that we talk, and bringing in fuels reduction. So the Land Trust owns a 600-acre forest that was donated to us in Mount Shasta, and we have we're partnering with the Shasta Valley RCD and the Prescribed Burn Association on the Western Mount Shasta Resiliency Project. I was actually part of a visit from the governor's task force about wildfire and climate resilience this past October. And so we will be going through and thinning, and then this forest land, it was managed about 5-6 years ago. Half of that property was, and now we're going into the rest of the property, and we'll be conducting a demonstration for different types of fuels treatments, including mastication and a few other treatments. And that's over a 20-acre area of the 600-acre forest, and that will include an educational component. And the treatments are in 2 to 5 acre parcel sizes, so figuring that we're trying to bring in the smaller landowners to share both what does it cost to do this? What does it mean to have a community stewardship group to come in and help? Because there's a lot of neighbors that have been helping along Rainbow Ridge. And what are some of the grant opportunities out there? So that's something new that we're focused on. And our stewardship dollars are primarily coming from all of, when I say stewardship, our stewardship staffing dollars are coming from the funds we raise locally from events like Giving Tuesday. Another big aspect of what the Land Trust is working on is pulling invasives where we do have public spaces for education and opportunities for kids, adults to get out there. This is Sisson Meadow, just by the center of Mount Shasta, and partnering with Fish and Wildlife Service to bring in some pollinator plants. That will be happening in the spring and fall of next year. But we're pulling out things like Marlahan mustard, blackberries, thistles have been intense after the drought. So getting out there, helping people to learn how to do that, and taking pictures over time so we can see our work and share that. Can I move forward? And this is just an example of what happens when we do pull some of those plants. So we've got, native plants showing up with pollen. And we have a garden across the street from the Mount Shasta Library that we've partnered with Boys and Girls Club, the schools, and Family Resource Center. And this is something that we've been asking ourselves, kind of stepping outside the Land Trust box of how can we partner in a larger way to be more effective throughout Siskiyou County. And so our staff is working or meeting with folks from farm to table, meeting with folks from Great Northern. We've had conversations with folks at Economic Development Council to just see how can we take what we know as our expertise and leverage that with other expertises throughout the county to really serve and connect our youth and adults to the places we live and love, and you know, in the meantime, helping us take care of these places and helping us set a vision for what we want this county to be and look like in the future. And that includes, you know, the mix of how can we maintain and enhance this beautiful place while also really supporting the county. We finally started a nature walk series this past year and encourage anyone who wants to go see really special places with prepared botanists, ornithologists, birders, you know, butterfly experts to go to places that aren't usually accessible to the public. Our staff member, Laura Bradley, leads these and coordinates with our scientific experts near and far to connect folks up. They have been during the week, but some on the weekend, so trying to balance out access and getting people out there. And this is one of the examples too. You know, our region is home to the most diverse conifer forest in the world, the Miracle Mile up around Sugar Lake in the Russian Wilderness, and one of our forest conservation easements borders that area, and so this is a hike up there to really just expose and connect and help people really appreciate the incredible place we live with its vast diversity. We do offer a river rafting fundraising trip every year on Thompson Creek because we do have a donated easement in the Mid-Klamath, which is just close to Syed. It's a 70-acre parcel that was bought by conservation buyers. It was actually a piece of land donated to the Nature Conservancy, and rather than just selling it for cash, they approached the land trust to see if we would hold a conservation easement over it to honor the donor's wishes. And so the land trust said, yes, we will definitely accept that conservation easement. And so those landowners have opened their property up every year to share the stewardship that they do. And to make it fun, we raft from along the Mid-Klamath and make a stop there. So I encourage all of you, if you want to see a little bit of the Klamath River, to check it out. It usually happens in early June. And just wanted to share a bit about conservation funding. The funding for our acquisition of easements and lands is typically coming from California state funds, sometimes from NRCS, which is an agricultural technical agency. Some of our staff time is also supported in that way. About 60% of our staff time is funded through grant dollars. The rest is raised from private dollars in our region. And that has gone up over the years. Our budget has gone from $150,000 about 10 years ago to about $300,000 5 years ago. And our operating budget that includes some project work is up to about $1 million right now. So that's kind of the trajectory of the Siskiyou Land Trust, and that just shows us that as we're leveraging our grant dollars with community dollars, we've calculated that for every dollar that's donated to us locally, $20 is raised for our work, and that's a pretty great investment and return on investment for conserving our region. And those funds stay locally. Go on. Sharing that we honored several folks at our annual meeting this year. Raven Tree is we had three awards. One was a business, a volunteer, and a donor. I think for purposes of Board of Supervisors and County, sharing that Raven Tree, a business down in Mount Shasta, has been helping us steward, educate, and connect youth and adults to landscapes. And so Kendra Bainbridge in the photo was honored this year. And many of you know Tom Hasselnitz. He is the founder of Siskiyou Land Trust, and as we turned 30, he helped us acquire the project, that essentially was the vision and the seed for Siskiyou Land Trust. Lucan Buell Ranch, in the 80s, Virginia Lucan Buell approached Tom in 1996. Virginia's daughter-in-law, Kate, approached Tom. That started the Siskiyou Land Trust because there was no local entity to really look out for what matters locally. Tom at the time was working for the Nature Conservancy and saw a gap. And 30 years later, we will be closing on the Lucan Buell acquisition before the end of the year, which was funded through the Sierra Nevada Conservancy, which expanded its boundary recently. That was hugely important for the success of this. And those funds were matched for the portion of this property that trickles over into the Shasta and out of eligibility for Sierra Nevada Conservancy funding, funded by Wildlife Conservation Board. It was a pretty epic moment to see 30 years in the making, so we honor Tom Hesselnitz. And that is it, celebrating 30 years. Thank you for taking time to listen to what Siskiyou Land Trust is up to and invite any questions.
Any questions from the board?
I got a couple. You mentioned a lot of the money, operating money, comes from the state. So what does the state lay on you as mandates for the money that they give you?
Well, like I said, the minimum deed terms are online. And so the state doesn't lay mandates on the land trust. But when the state is funding a conservation easement, there are minimum deed terms that are essentially complying with the laws around what is a conservation easement to make sure we're compliant with conservation easements. Generally, that means if it's an agricultural conservation easement, the state conservation easement minimum deed terms is really, I think, what you're looking for, and I'd recommend just checking that out online. That would include keeping the ranch intact. It's really up to the land owner and land trust to talk about what are the development envelopes. For NRCS, that's federal funding, there's usually a maximum of 2% of the property can be paved over, and so when you're looking at, there can be native soils and roads, but there's a restriction on how much pavement there can be in relationship to the whole of the property.
Yeah, my only point was that if they're giving you a lot of money, they obviously expect something for that money.
Yeah, it's held intact. So the land trust, I mean, it's just like the state doesn't expect to own a pipe for a pipe project, right? They're funding the public benefit. So the public benefit that they're funding is keeping groundwater, recharge areas, open space, wildlife habitat, working, you know, soil conservation. So the state dollars always have to fund public benefit, and when it comes to acquiring a conservation easement, all of those require an appraisal, a fair market value. And so just like any real estate transaction, if the state were to buy property or the county, kind of similar. You know, if the county has grant funds to acquire a property, it would be the same types of restrictions. It's minimum deed terms wouldn't be placed on land. So the Wairika Flocks property, there was no condition saying the land trust couldn't build a caretaker home, but we would coordinate with CDFW and Fish and Wildlife Service if we had a need to really both protect that public resource and serve an educational purpose. We coordinate to make sure that those dollars that were set aside for the purpose of conservation, that intent was maintained.
Okay. The next question is more of an operational kind of a thing.
Sure.
So, because I'm puzzled, I represent Scott Valley. So in Scott Valley, I'm very familiar with the Whipple Ranch and Spencer's and the easement pieces that they went through. What I'm curious about is, because Scott Valley has a Scott Valley area plan that protects it, those lands from development already, don't do that to me. It's planning law. Believe me, I defend it like Motor Mar, so it's a planning commission. We also have Williamson Act agreements on all those properties as well that control that. So what I'm puzzled by with additional easement on that, what is the landowner giving up and what are you gaining with the easement on that property that, that is already pretty much in protected status?
Yeah, happy to answer that question. It's probably best to be answered in a conservation easement presentation with a map or two or three maps to really show you how all of these lay over. But I share that the intention of a conservation easement over a working ranch is so it can stay a working ranch, and typically that requires more acreage than the Scott Valley area plan provides. And so, you know, an average size of a working ranch in Siskiyou County is 800 acres. We know that, that's, does that mean anything? Well, some ranches have irrigated ag, some are grazing land, so 800 acres is just the average here. The Scott Valley area plan might allow for 40-acre parcels or 80-acre parcels, and is that really a viable ag operation for the type of agriculture we have here, for whether it's hay, cow-calf operations? It might be for specialized artisan ranches, but we don't have as much of that in Scott Valley. And similar to the forest conservation easements, you might have zoning that's 40 or 80 acre parcels, but is that really enough economy of size to have a viable economy? It doesn't appear that way. Again, that might shift.
You realize that many ranchers own multiple parcels.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in aggregate, for much more than 40 and 80.
Well, that's my point. So a conservation easement is typically not going to be over a 40-acre parcel. You're typically going to have 300 acres to 1,000 acres to keep that as a working ranch. So not only do you have the ag land, but you have the infrastructure that goes with it. And I'd suggest that right now we're at a tipping point in Siskiyou County where it's, do you know anybody that can come here right now to buy land and afford to ranch? Probably not.
Conservation.
It's rare. So if there's a conservation easement on it, that actually would be a door open for somebody to be able to afford that. And that has been a transaction. So that's looking forward in time. But I think you're asking a more philosophical question about why does the land trust operate and why do we have conservation easements?
No, I'm not. I understand that. I just don't understand what a private owner is giving up.
They're giving up their rights to sell the individual parcels within, say, a 1,000-acre tract. Or there might be a 500-acre ranch that has four legal parcels. Two of those parcels might have home sites on them and barns. And so that putting a conservation easement on there means you're keeping the ranch home site and infrastructure intact as one ranch forever. There isn't an affirmative promise that requires ranchers to use it in a specific way, but it does require that that place is available for agriculture forever.
One thing, and this probably isn't so much related to the land trust, but some of the other groups that you mentioned. I do have tremendous concern about where this county will be in 20 years.
Yeah.
Because a lot of conservation groups are not ranching as they are today on those properties. And what I'd like to see, and not from you, actually from the county,
yeah,
is an assessment of, because there's such a plethora of all these agreements taking place, kind of outside of our purview as a board, that directly affect our tax base. I'd like to know where we're headed as a county and what those effects are to our tax base in this county. Because I often say, you know, I'm going to wake up someday and we're not going to have any tax land left in the county because a lot of the land is owned by NGOs and they pay property tax. So that's a grave concern of mine. And it you know, I not only look at the
for 2 million acres.
Pardon?
2 million acres is private land.
Yeah.
And so just taking, you know, taking that into account, when the land trust is working on a conservation easement, which is most of our local land trust anyways, mm-hmm. which is most of our work, and I think that doesn't get to the bigger question that you have, which is an important one.
No, not like I said, that was not so much couched in the land trust.
Yeah, the easements don't change the tax base. You know, I understand Williamson Act is its own world of challenge for mm-hmm. the county, and that's just bizarro land, sure. right? You think that's the place everybody could come together. But where it does potentially affect the county tax base is when the land trust acquires property. We do apply for a welfare exemption, but where there, excuse me, where we do have structures, we are paying taxes. You know, there's a step up in basis when the land trust yeah. acquires a property. So we're not paying taxes. And I think that the question for us as a local land trust, and I think some of the reasons why landowners do choose to work with Siskiyou Land Trust is because not only is there a tax-based question, so you know, if we're keeping certain properties from increasing in tax base, we're also keeping certain expenses from increasing as well. So that's a bit of a balance that has
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, and I preface that with it's probably not as pertinent for what you do. For some of those, like Nature Conservancy, when they do acquire properties and those kind of things. My concern is, you know, I'm not only concerned about the sustainability of our environment, but I'm also concerned about the sustainability of this town.
Likewise,
you know,
yeah.
And in some pretty critical terms because of what I'm seeing, particularly with the focus on Scott Valley, and it's not just you know, your group, it's a tremendous focus on Scott Valley to do those kinds of things that are changing our taxable property base. Anyway, that's mostly
something
and
I think the question would be what is the character of this place that we want in Siskiyou County? I think there's a balance, right? And maintaining the character of why we live here and both the working landscape economy and open space and nature mixed with here's the opportunity we have right now. I'd say we're at a tipping point of what is here in Siskiyou County and you're seeing that because of lots
and also
of
the tipping point of providing public safety too.
Mm-hmm.
That taxable base. So anyway,
well,
I appreciate it.
But I think just to add to the, you know, when we work in forest conservation easements and the wildland urban interface, we're removing a huge risk for people building homes up against the wilderness area. And so we can't not necessarily build in forests, but the land trust conservation easements are removing a major risk and expenditure for the state and federal governments when we're saying, hey, this 30,000 acres is not really appropriate for home sites. This should be a working forest. It's headwaters. It serves far more function for all of us to keep this place working and intact.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Anybody interested in reading a little bit more? Thanks for all the time you've given me.
Find any one for my file.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
I will give you.
Yeah, just so I have the file here. And I've got a copy of your PowerPoint on my desktop here, so.
Yes, thank you so
thank
very
you.
Much. Take care.